Blog Talk Radio.
Christina Aguilera, loving me for me, right here on the Love Journey family. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And I am your daily lover. That was Christina Aguilera. Loving me for me. Loving me for me. Yes. We're going to get started by recognizing that there is only one power and one presence in this whole universe. And on this line, we recognize this great, great, great spirit that is known by many, many names. We recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So together, family, as we become intentional about the breath, recognizing that there is power in the breath, family, sometimes we forget to breathe. Sometimes we forget to breathe. And so in this right now moment, I want you to breathe, family. By taking in a deep, deep, deep breath, breathe it in through the nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. Release the breath. And remember to breathe it deep into the diaphragm and into the heart. Good morning, family. As we become very intentional, calling in the space of divine love, reminding you that there's no love like loving self, loving me for me, you see. My grandmother always said that there's not an ill love can't heal. There's not a prescription love can't feel. And for every question, love is the answer. Today, family, you ain't been loved till you've been loved by you. I want you to call forth the presence of that divine love. And as we move into the space of love, I want you to just breathe in love. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. Let's do it again. Be still and know that I am God. And as you breathe in all of God's goodness, I want you to release and let go. And allow the presence of God to move through every cell, every muscle fiber, and every organ. When you breathe, just breathe in the presence of God. Let's breathe together, family. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. Breathe. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. and release. And simply just say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. And as we come together to speak these words of this prayer treatment, knowing that we are abundant.
Let's get rid of all the money hang-ups. I tell you how I want you to do this. I want you to get relaxed. Take about three good long breaths and stretch your feet out if you can. Now, I want you to place your hands in an upward position on your lap. Just let them rest in an upward position. Somewhat slightly cupped. You see, like my cup runneth over. And just repeat this with me, right here and right now.
Right here, right now.
I open my mind to all of the goodness of life. I deserve it all. God wants me to have all of the goodness of life.
God wants me to have all the goodness of life.
It is God's pleasure to give me all of the goodness of life.
It's God's pleasure to give me all the goodness of life.
All of the riches of life.
All the riches of life.
Health, happiness, love.
Health, happiness,
success, prosperity, and money.
Success, prosperity,
I totally open my mind to the flow. With no reservations.
With no reservations.
I opened my mind to money.
I opened my mind.
The being, doing, having power of the mind.
The being, doing, having power of
the
mind.
The being, doing, having power of God in me.
The being, doing, having power of God.
This is real money.
This is real.
This is the money that becomes every form of money.
This is the money that becomes every form
that I need and want.
That I need and want.
And now we're going to go into a visualization for a moment, so I just want you to close your two outer eyes. Tilt your chin slightly upward. And look through the third eye, the eye of God in you. And repeat this visualization prayer treatment with me. I now enter into the theater of my mind.
I now enter into the theater of my mind.
And I see myself.
And I see myself.
I see myself as I wish to be.
I see myself as I wish to be.
I see myself as a healthy person.
I see myself as a healthy person.
I see myself as a happy person.
I see myself as a happy
person. I see myself as a loving person.
I see myself as a loving person.
I see myself as a beloved person.
I see myself as a beloved person.
I see myself as a successful, prosperous person.
I see myself as a successful, prosperous person.
I see and feel myself as a person who has a lot of money.
I see and feel myself as a person who has lots of money.
I see that I have all of the money that I need for every good cause.
I see that I have all the money I need for every good cause.
I see myself with stocks and bonds.
I see myself with stocks and
certificates of deposit.
Certificates of
a
deposit.
A big investment portfolio.
A big investment portfolio.
I see myself having money making money.
I see myself having money making
money. Money making money.
Money,
money
making,
making money.
Money making
it feels
money.
Wonderful.
It feels
good.
It feels
I see
good.
And feel myself enjoying the goodness of money.
I see and feel myself enjoying the goodness
thank you,
of
God,
money.
In me.
Thank you, God,
for money
for
and
money.
All of the goodness of life.
And all the goodness in life.
Now open your eyes slowly. Come back. And in closing, I say health, happiness, love, success, yes, and prosperity, and a whole lot of money go with you. Amen.
Amen.
Day 10, a prayer of forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every cell, every atom, every molecule, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, wealth, and abundance, bringing it into alignment with the perfect will of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into alignment with the perfect peace of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into perfect alignment with the perfect love of God. For this I am so grateful, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money.
Ooh, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, God.
Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle. Purify our hearts. We need you to surround us in this place. Bring new life within us. Send a refreshing, Lord. Saturate our hearts. Say rain. Oh, needing my shower. Send your spirit, Lord.
Send your spirit, Lord.
Yeah, all right.
Send your
God, I need you to breathe new life within me.
Lord.
Yeah.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You've tuned into the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover, and that was Joshua Rogers. Yes, and we've been on our Money Love Challenge. I'm super excited to just move through this space. And as we grow and make a financial significance in our life and others, that's a powerful place to be. We're on day 15 today. I hope you're moving through, working through, and use this weekend opportunity to catch up, to write in your journal, to develop your intention, to move through this space and actually understand your numbers, know where you are, find out where you want to be, because that's powerful. Today I want us to hear Tyler Perry. Sometimes we get weary on the road. Sometimes we get tired and we're like, how long, God? And I just want you to listen to Tyler, because Tyler Perry knows a little something about that road. You see, you remember he wrote his play in 91 thinking that he put everything on the line, thinking that some about 1,200 people going to show up, and only 30 people showed up in his first play. And he did it the second year, third year. He ended up homeless. The fourth, the fifth, the sixth. It was 7 years before the people showed up. But I want you to hear Tyler talk about this in his commencement speech. Family, good morning. You've tuned in to the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram, your daily lover. This is Tyler Perry right here on the Love Journey.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I must say that I'm so excited to be your commencement speaker here for the Tuskegee University graduating class of 2016. To you, I had to do that too. President Johnson, First Lady Johnson, all the faculty and staff, Chairman Page, and the students, thank you so much for having me. It fills my heart with joy to be here on these hallowed grounds of this historic campus, and to also to see your faces, to feel the hope in this place. It's electric. Your light is shining so bright today, so congratulations to all of you graduates. You have made it. You deserve it. And to all the parents, mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, cousins, brothers, sisters, nobody gets here alone, so we celebrate you too. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thank you for asking me to be here today. And I must say this is my first commencement speech, and it is also the first time I've been given an honorary doctorate. So as of Monday morning, I will be calling myself Dr. Perry when I return to the studio. Being my first commencement speech, I feel the pressure to say something that will inspire you, something that will make you want to go out and take on the world. So my prayer, my hope, and my intention is to try and do just that today. I don't know if you know this, but I did not go to college. It wasn't that I didn't want to go. It was just that I was going through a very, very difficult time in my life at that point. And I had also had a front row seat to watch my mother struggle to put my older sister through college. And I didn't want to be that kind of burden on her. I knew firsthand the hardship. And especially, you know, because the truth be told, I wasn't that good of a student. I was smart, but I didn't have the patience to learn a lot of the things that I thought wouldn't serve me in life. You know how hard-headed teenagers can be. They think they know it all. Well, I was one. Sitting there in school, I would get so frustrated because I never thought that I would use a lot of what I was being taught in my real life. And to give that little hard-headed kid some props, there's a few things he was right about to a degree. Because I can honestly say in the 27 years since I left high school, nobody has ever asked me about the square root of nothing. Nobody has ever asked me about the Nina, the Pinta, or the Santa Maria. Nobody, Jane and Susie, Kara had four apples, walked 5 miles, they divided those apples. Listen, I never met Jane and I never met Susie. I know some of you are thinking, why are you telling these young folks this? They have just studied, they've learned all this. But I just want you to know, you ain't going to use all of it. But that's okay. That's okay. Some of your faces are saying right now. You mean tell me I could have skipped college and been rich and successful like Tyler Perry? While that is possible, I want to tell you that the advantage that all of you graduates have over me, this education, this college degree that you have worked so hard for, I envy you. Because if I could get back half the time and the money that I spent and wasted because of what I didn't know, I could have paid for everybody's education in this entire school. You see, somebody say, go ahead. Listen. You see, come on now, I only got 20 minutes to get through this. Listen, maybe 30, maybe 30. Listen. You see, it was what I didn't know and that I didn't get in college that made it difficult for me to run my business in the beginning. It was what I didn't know, the basics of business, that if I had gone to college, I could have learned them, which would have helped me so much. Now, don't feel sorry for me. I'm doing all right. But my journey would have been so much easier had I taken advantage of the kind of education that you have been afforded here at Tuskegee. When I was growing up, my father was a carpenter. He would take me to work with him. And in the summertime, you know, it was really hot, and I'd be out there with him, and he'd be building these houses. And the part that I hated most about this was when we had to put in the foundation, the part that was very labor-intensive. There were the footings that had to be dug to a certain depth. However tall the building was, that's how deep the footings had to be. It was painstaking, you know, digging these holes. And I grew up in New Orleans, so you had to put in these 30-foot pilings sometimes in the ground to be able to support the building. So just to know that, then it had to be what we called form, where you put these boards around, and then you had to tie the steel. And after all that work was done, you just poured concrete over it. And here's the thing. After it was all done, nobody ever saw it. All that work was done, and nobody ever saw it. No one ever cared about the foundation. The only time you hear someone talk about the foundation is when a house is falling apart. But when the foundation is done right, nobody mentions it. And when it's done right, it can carry the weight of anything that it was designed to hold. Well, that's what you've been doing here. You've been building a foundation, one that will hold you up for the rest of your life. And you know, when I was a kid, I would ask myself, you know, why is nobody paying attention to this foundation? Why does this work have to be so hard? Have you ever wondered, for some of you, why it had to be so hard to get through school? Or just make it from day to day? Well, that's because what you were building had to be strong enough to support the weight of whatever you could dream. And if you're like me, you are a huge dreamer. You had to have a foundation that is big enough and strong enough and bold enough to hold all of your dreams and handle them coming true. That's why in life, it's not always an even playing field. What I mean by that is this. While for some, studying, good grades may have come easy, but for others, every day here may have been a struggle. For some, mama and daddy had money to write the check with tuition with ease, but for others, they had to make a choice between paying a bill and getting you a book. For some, it was easy to focus and learn, while others were distracted by problems that they were going through at home or working two jobs to make ends meet. All that means is that you were being designed to handle different levels of success. I mean, truth be told, no one really knows what you went through to be able to sit in this very seat. They don't know the hell or the turmoil, but trust me when I tell you, all of it was to make you strong. Strong enough to go through whatever you have to go through to get to your dreams coming true. I want you to ask yourself this question today. How much can my foundation hold? As you think about that, I need to warn you, it takes a while to build a dream. Think about that when you get out there and you're faced with all kinds of challenges. When you get out there in the world, I want you to remember something. What's in the well will come up in the bucket. So thank God that Mama and Daddy and Big Mama and Grandpa and Tuskegee, they put some good stuff down in your well. So listen to me. No matter what happens, you've got good stuff down inside of you. You can always count on it, so you remember that. But what happens if you get out there and you find yourself saying, I thought I'd have this job by now or that job by now. I thought I'd be working here or there by now. Why aren't they calling me back? Why haven't I been hired? You see, when you leave the protection of the walls of Tuskegee, when you step out from under Mama and Daddy's shadows, I'm going to tell you something. Mama and Daddy protecting you is one thing, but that world out there is a whole nother thing to deal with. So what do? When you have worked this hard, built this foundation, everything you are trying to build on, it seems to not be coming together. What happens if you find yourself at an interview and realize that you are being judged because of your name, or because of the color of your skin, or because of your size, or because of who you love, or where you come from? What if in a few years you find yourself at a glass ceiling that the one in the career that you thought you so desperately wanted? What do? What happens when the job that you wanted or the career that you planned for doesn't come right away? What do? Well, it was 1991. I was just about your age then, and I had written my first play. It was called I Know I've Been Changed. It was about adult survivors of child abuse, and I wanted to do this show, and just my intention was just to make enough money to be able to take care of my mother. That's all I wanted to do. That was my goal, make the money and retire her. Anyway, I just moved to Atlanta to try and launch this place, so I went to work. I would always work. You have to always work. You got to always go to work. I managed to save $12,000, and I put the show up, working, used car, bill collector, H&R Block tax return that wasn't quite right, but I got my money out of it. I thought 1,200 people would show up that weekend, but only 30 showed up. My car payment, rent, everything was tied up in it, so I ended up homeless. I ended up out on the street with no money and nothing to my name. But I knew that that is what I was supposed to be doing. I knew that I was on a good foundation. I had put in the work. This was supposed to work. It was supposed to be successful, but it wasn't. Over and over again, it failed, or so I thought. From 1992 to 93 to 94, every year I was doing one show a year. I would go get a job in between, and they would tell me I couldn't take time off. So I would quit. Now, I'm not telling you to go quit your job. I'm telling you what I did. This is my story. I would go tell my boss that I need some time off, and they'd say, no, you just got started working. You just got this job. You can't have any time off. But I knew that that was my destiny, so I kept on doing the play. Every year I would do it, it would fall short, until 1998. In 1998, in the seventh year of me trying, I was about to give up and walk away. I'd had enough of it. I was going to do like my mother said. She said, baby, go down to the phone company, get you a good job, making about $350 a week and some benefits, and you'll be all right. But how many of you know mama's dream for you is not necessarily your dream for yourself? I knew I was in the right place when one day I started getting notes from people, this was before email, who had seen the show. They would say, this really touched me. This really helped me. They started telling me how it had changed their lives, how they were moved by it. Then I realized, wait a second, this story that I'm telling about these adult survivors getting over things, this isn't just about me or where I come from. It's a healing for many people. I saw it, I got it, and it hit me, and my intention changed. At that moment, it was no longer about making enough money to take care of anybody. It became about what it did for the people who saw it, who saw themselves. My entire intention changed in 1998, and everything in my life shifted after that. I was still doing the same show. I was still doing the same thing, but because my intention changed, my purpose in what I was doing, this four had changed. My intention became about, how do I serve other people? How do I lift other people? When I realized that, everything in my life began to fall into place. So I want to talk to you about intention today. What is your intention in your career? Why did you choose it? What is your purpose? Because let me tell you, whatever you set your intention at, that is where you will land. You know, once I changed my intention, once it became about, you're going to hear that word a lot, intention. Once it became about going out on the road with my plays to share what I had learned about life, about faith, and about God, and about forgiveness. Once I did that, everything that I touched seemed to see major success. My intention was to use what I had learned in life, to use my gifts, my writing, and everything within me to lift people, to motivate them, to make them laugh, to use the laughter as an anesthetic so that I could talk about things that were plaguing our community that nobody wanted to talk about. Things like domestic violence and molestation and rape and AIDS and HIV, getting over heartbreak, getting over things that try to take us out, to talk about someone that no one wanted to talk about in this politically correct society, and that is the name of Jesus. You see, to me, my work is a how-to manual for the average person, for people like me when I was growing up, who couldn't afford therapy, people who couldn't afford to take time off from work while they figured things out, for people who couldn't get in their car and go to the country club and play a round of golf and work things out in their head. It was for people like the people that raised me, people that I'm not ashamed to own like many of us do once we get a few letters behind our name. When my intention changed so did everything in my life, I began to live in purpose and live on purpose. I never thought about money or success again, but it kept coming my way. So much so that I was playing arenas, even until this day, 20, 30,000 people coming to the arenas over a weekend, packing the place just to see my live plays. Then on to incredible success in film with over about 15 movies grossing over $1 billion. Then on to television, where I provided jobs and made more millionaires than all the studios combined in a 10-year period when blacks were... In a 10-year period when blacks were absent from television and the film, I helped people like Idris Elba by giving him his first movie. I worked with Kerry Washington before Scandal and Taraji P. Henson before Empire, with Viola Davis before How to Get Away with Murder, and Miss Cicely Tyson, the legendary Cicely Tyson. She said that I helped revitalize her career, and there are many more. Nothing changed in what I was doing other than my intention. So today I want to challenge you to know your intention as to why you do what you do. And I promise you, if your intention is right, you will be successful. But let me warn you what will happen when you're successful, because I don't want you to get out there and get caught off guard. At first, you're going to be celebrating. But when your success surpasses what your peers expect of you, then you will become a target. So now that you have set your intention, now that you have your foundation, let's talk about how to stay on course when the attacks come. And I assure you, they will come for you just as they did for me. When my attack started, I was shocked because I was so busy looking outside for the enemy to come and tear me down, I didn't even realize that the enemy was standing right in my own backyard. You see, we as black people, we have come through so much and we've endured so much that a lot of us, not all of us, but a lot of us still bear the scars of our ancestors. We still feel that if one of us is up, then that means that no one else can be too. So in order for me to be up and get ahead, then I can't celebrate you, I have to tear you down. That's the mentality that we have sometimes. That stems from a time in our history that there was only allowed one person of color to be successful at a time. I'll give you an example for Hollywood. When Hattie McDaniel was successful, there couldn't be another. When Dorothy Dandridge was successful, there couldn't be another. When Sammy Davis was successful, you know what I'm saying. You get the picture here. So expect some attack. It's all a part of it. But remember this. A hunter only shoots at a deer he can see. If you ain't being seen, you ain't doing nothing. I can recall not too long ago being called a coon and a buffoon by one of my peers. Things were written in headlines in some of these blogs like, "What's up with him in this dress? Heller." Headline, shocking. Why did he put these fat black people on TV when House of Pain came out? This is one I saw, it's a title of an article. Tyler Perry hates black women. Another one said Tyler Perry hates black men. I mean, just absurd things that shocked me because it was coming from inside, from black folks. I was blown away. I thought, how could these intellectuals with these degrees, they're so smart, how can they not see what I'm doing here? How could they not get the power of what was happening here for people that everybody else had given up on? Their comments took me aback because I found myself fighting two wars. I was sitting in Hollywood meetings at the board table telling them how important our stories are and how they need to be told and how it was important that we keep our truths as they are. But when I left out of the boardroom, stepped out of that meeting, I had to fight us too. One comment that stuck with me is, Tyler Perry, this is the title of an article, Tyler Perry is dangerous for black people. I thought, what? How can they say this? The people who were saying these things must not have known the experiences and my life and the people around me. They had shaped me. They had shaped my writing and my work, like my uncle with his ashy knees, who drank and fell in and out of love every other weekend. Or my aunt, who would get into an argument with her husband and cut him, dial 911, then pray that he was okay. Or the woman that lived across the street from me who was largely overweight. She had 10 children and she was on welfare. And when I thought about all of these people and their stories, I realized something that stopped me from being frustrated by what they were saying. I quickly stopped paying attention to the naysayers when I realized what they were telling me was, what they were saying is that my story and the people that I was talking about didn't deserve to have their story told because they were an embarrassment to a certain level of black people. That's what they were saying. And I got angry. I thought, who are they to say that your life and your story as a black person shouldn't be told because you don't look like what they want you to look like? I got angry, not just for me, but for all of the people that I love and the millions of people that love what I do. I was offended for the people that I grew up with and the people that loved me so much. I was offended for the people that were maids and garbage truck drivers and hairdressers, the people that shine shoes and wash dishes and scrub toilets and clean houses, so that the very people that are talking about the work that I'm doing could get the degree to be authorities on all things Tyler Perry. But I must say, when my anger subsided, I wanted to understand this level of elitist ignorance. It didn't take me long to find out that this lives in our culture as well. There is a history of it. It was Langston Hughes who said that Zora Neale Hurston, one of the greatest literary minds of our time, was a new version of the darkie because her story spoke in a southern dialect. I got it then. And it also will go the other way, where they say if you get too much education, then you're trying to be too white. Or if you speak proper English, you're trying to be white. Or if just take Whitney Houston, who was booed at the Soul Train Awards by black people because she sounded too white. It was in The Color Purple where people boycotted because of the story and the way that Alice Walker had depicted black men. Alex Walker, a black woman, Alex Walker. They boycotted the movie. And then when it didn't win any Oscars, they boycotted. They said that Oprah was too white. They said that The Cosby Show didn't represent us as black people. So it goes both ways. In my research, I found something shocking. What I found is that we as black people, we have the greatest migration that you can imagine. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Tell you what we do to ourselves. When some of us make a little money, or when we get some degrees, we don't want to be reminded of who we are and where we come from. When we see someone that reminds us of our grandparents or our ancestors, we get offended. If we see an image of a black person on television that is overweight, we get troubled. And you know the thing that bothers me is I have never seen our white brothers and sisters apologizing for telling all sides of their story. Realizing that, I learned not to apologize for telling all shades of ours. As an artist, This is the art that I want to paint. And I'm going to tell you this, graduates, just as I will never do it, don't you ever change one brushstroke on your canvas because somebody doesn't like what you paint. Because I'll tell you what happened. While they were talking, my intention stayed the same, to encourage, to lift, to inspire. While they were murmuring, I kept going higher. I kept on building, still getting bigger. I kept on working. Why am I telling you this? Number one, so that you know how to stay on course. Keep your intention no matter what pressures come your way. And also, I'm telling you this because it's time that we stop running from where we come from to look for someone else to approve us. I don't know why we run out to someone else looking for validation. I want to tell you something. We are enough. You are enough. Your gift is enough. Live in your truth. Share your gifts. Don't worry about who gets it. If your aim and your intention is for right and to do the right thing, you will make it. And when you do, don't run from us. Don't be embarrassed by us. Come back and help us. You are the generation that has the power to do away with this kind of thinking. You are the generation that can change this. You can show us that all of our stories and all of our lives matter. When I made my first $1 million, I'll tell you what I did. I went back and I set up shop right in the middle of our community, in the hood. I will never forget when President Obama was running for re-election in 2012 and he came to the studio. And to see all of those little black faces lining the streets, holding their flags, waving as the presidential motorcade came driving through the ghetto. I saw hope in their eyes. It made me cry because I realized that some of them know that they can do it too. I recently bought Fort McPherson Army Base in Atlanta to build my new studio. And it's right in the middle of one of the lowest income areas in Atlanta. And I will hire many people from that neighborhood and train them on how to run their own company. It gives me so much joy to know that an army base that was established and built just a few years after slavery is now owned by Negroes. I say that to say this to you, that our ancestors, they walked their path. Your grandparents, your mother, your father, they all walked their path. Now it's your turn. Return to where you come from when you made it. You have the foundation. Know your intention. Know that it's not going to be easy, but just keep yourself on track. Know the value of what is already down in your well. Know that you are special. Know that you carry it. You have the torch. It's already been bought and paid for. Now it's in your hands. Use it for good. Inspire somebody. Encourage somebody. Uplift somebody. And finally, return to where you got started. Build with us. Teach us. Show us what you've learned. Help us to see that we can do it too. Then help somebody else to know that they are just as special as you are. May God bless you, Tuskegee. Bless all your dreams. Bless you.
A little better than that for Mr. Dr. Tyler Perry. We appreciate Mr. Perry, Dr. Perry. We appreciate his willingness to agree to receive a degree from Tuskegee University, and we appreciate our future with Dr. Perry.
Maybe because this is not one. Today's the work is to have the door with a new little challenge. Are you being driven in the work back? And today I wanted us to think about our intention. What's my intention? To serve by using our purpose and our dreams. How we serve is my intention. And how can we bring all that together to be the light? And to really serve life. No money, family. I'm not sure. But I do know nothing for certain. That there's a divine time to all things. I know some people are thinking, oh my God, how long. But I know there's a divine time. And just like kind of parents, we decided to keep pressing through, keep moving. They keep hope, keep praying, keep faith in our way through this process, knowing that God is always on top. And that everything is in divine order. Right now, friend, what is your intention today? And I love that he said, his intention today. His attention to him. I really want us to focus in on this. It was our intention that we moved through the future. It was our intention. I'm going to
have it. You see, because we've been given a lot of gifts and we've been given a lot of talent. We've been given a lot of gifts and a lot of talents. But are we ready to use our gifts and our talents? Are we really ready to give that sacred yes? That sacred yes, that yes to our gifts, that yes to our talents, that yes that will open up lanes for us. To allow us to stand in our light and shine bright. What is your intention? Today is day 15 of our Money Love Challenge. We're going to call in to Deja.
Good morning, Lady Love.
So that we can do Money 15. I love today because today is about music. Music is my life. Good morning, Khadija. Are you ready?
Good morning.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Tyler Perry is such an inspiration. He's such an inspiration. And he's one of Goose's favorite people outside of Chris Brown.
I wonder how we're doing on our Money Love Challenge. I've been really enjoying my experience. Today is. I woke up very introspective this morning. Today is the first day years ago that I entered into a new chapter. I became a mother of my oldest daughter. And you never think about the journey that it takes to provide and guide and support someone else through their journey. And now being a grandmother, oh my God, you think about all of that, you know. I think about the different thought process at a grandmother stage than it was at a mother stage, because I wasn't quite understanding what it takes to be a mother, you know. I didn't really have an intention. I knew I wanted to be a good mother. I knew I wanted to support my daughter into being the very best that she could be in life. But I had all the wrong intentions. Meaning that my intention was to be a good mother, but it was coming from a place of unhealed faith. Because I wanted to give her things that I didn't have. And everything was about what I didn't have, never focusing really on what I did have. I wanted to give my children what I didn't have. I wanted to provide opportunities and education, things that I thought would get them out of, I guess, the quote-unquote ghetto. But what I didn't realize is that I was operating from fear and not love. It took some years looking back to really see that the most important ingredient to parenting is love. And not to provide them what I didn't have, but to share with them what I did have and what I did learn from the things that I didn't have and how those things shaped me into being the very best that I am today when I look back as a grandmother. Diamond and Tim asked me, what advice would I give them? And my advice was to parent out of love and not fear. Because the first thing parents do when they have children, the first thing they want to do is to parent and give their children exactly what they didn't have. And so today I just wanted to remind my children today to parent out of love. And know that you're already equipped with the information to guide and to lead, not to control and to mold, but to guide and to lead. I don't know why when we become parents, we think we can mold and shape and change the trajectory of what God's plan is for their life. Because a lot of times, our biggest ego shows up in our parenting. And your ego. That E-G-O shows up and says, well, I want my kids to be this. I want my children to do this. And you want them to grow up to be this. And in actuality, our job is not to mold into shape, but to lead them, to guide them into what they already are. It's interesting. When you look at an acorn, it already knows it's an oak tree. So you don't think we already know? We do. Our cells exactly know what it is that we want to be. Our cells know exactly the direction it wants to grow into. But we get conditioned and veiled from our own truth because we start to look outside ourselves and forget to look inside ourselves. What is our intention today, family? What is our intention? Nope, we cannot hear you. Can't hear you.
Lady Love?
Khadija. She asked me if I can hear her, and I told her, nope, I haven't heard him, unless I was so busy talking that I couldn't hear him. But can you try again, Khadija Ali?
Lady Love, can you hear me?
So I want to remind you today, this is just move in love. Move in love in your money journey. Move in love as a parent, a grandparent, wherever you are in this journey of learning, growing, expanding, ascending. Let's do it with love. Let's do it with love. Do it with love. All right. I don't know why we can't hear Khadija. But I've got one thing that I want to remind you, too. This weekend, Peggy Riggins event, March 25th, which is Sunday, 1000 East 87th Street at WVON. She will be hosting a sister circle with purpose, soul purpose. Yes. And they're going to be honoring an African-American woman who has been in business over 40 years in the day spa business. 1000 East 87th Street. Don't forget to post a flyer on your Facebook page for her. Don't forget to invite somebody you know who may live in Chicagoland area. All right, family.
Lady Love?
I don't know. But we can't hear you, Khadija. All right. And today is day 16.
And let me see. She sent the information that today is our Money Love Challenge, day 15. Make a money love playlist. Find songs that make you feel abundant and prosperous. Make a playlist and turn on the music. Share your playlist here in the comments section. Right here on the Love Journey, family. Share your playlist with us. What's your money love song? Let's get our money love song. Can you come on? Can you start six? She says she here. Start six. I'm here. Get your money on. How are we doing with our money love challenge, family? Anybody get anything special that they want to talk about? It's time, family. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about our money. Money is coming to me. I can feel it. Good morning, Carla. Carla LeVoe Hawkins. Is it just me? Maybe I can't hear nobody. Can people hear me?
Okay, I can hear Khadijah.
Yep. Maybe I need to call back in, huh?
Yeah.
Carla LeVoe Hawkins, are you talking?
Yes, ma'am.
Let me see. Let me play some music. Maybe
Carla,
I know
you can hear me?
I can hear. Maybe
yes,
it's
I
my
can.
Phone,
you just
y'all.
Can't hear.
For
some reason, hear it.
Let's see.
I'm texting her now.
Okay.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
I see what happened, y'all. My earpiece went out. I'm sorry. Could y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
I just couldn't hear you all. Okay. I'm sorry. Khadijah, Carla, my earpiece went out. I'm just talking on the earpiece, and it ain't working. It probably died. Good morning, family. Khadijah, I apologize.
Oh, no worry. You know, Spirit was all in the mix this morning because something told me to text you and post the day 15, and it didn't make any sense as to why I was doing it, but I followed through, and I'm glad that I did. So, family, good morning. Welcome to the Money Love Challenge. Today is day 15 of Friday, y'all. And we are to make a money love playlist. That's right. Make a playlist, family, of the songs that make you feel prosperous and abundant. And I want to hear from y'all. Share with us on the Facebook page what your playlist is. I know my first song is All the Way Up by, what's that, DJ Khaled? Nothing can go All the Way Up.
Yeah,
that's one of my songs. So, family, share with us what the songs are. And like Janine mentioned earlier, catch up. If you're missing some days that you didn't do, catch up this weekend so we can all be on the same page come Monday. But I am complete. With that, I'm going to get back to you, Lady Love.
All right. Carla, did you have something to say? And Rosa, both of y'all lines are open.
Hey, girls, ladies, gentlemen, it's excellent to be here. Abundance, money. You know, that's an amazing journey. If you still look in your wallet and see nothing and you start feeling all angst and anxiety, you got some issues to clear up. Abundance, money. When you look at your bank account and it's overdrawn and you still got some issues or you got some feelings, and you have some belief systems that you need to clear up. God is amazing. He works with us, for us, and through us. You know, that journey can be rough, but it can also be so graciously uplifting. So, I just wanted to say that, you know, working with your feelings and your emotions. Today's a message with Deepak and Oprah's challenge, their 21-day meditation releasing. It's called Releasing Weight. And they don't actually, you think about it, you think that it's talking about physical weight, but they're not. They're talking about the angst and anxieties that we carry on our back and in our consciousness. To learn to release it is the most important thing and the most important gift that you can ever give yourself to move forward. And it, to me, it goes right hand in hand with all that we are doing right now. You know, it says when I have allow my, something to this effect, when I allow my emotions to flow, my life is lightened. And I think that's an amazing thought, because, and a place to be, because when you release these major feelings about everything, not just any particular thing, but especially in money, because it takes money in our lifestyle to live a pretty good life. You got to have some kind of cash, if that's your belief system or not. But that's what we're talking about on a love journey. And when you release all those angst and anxiety, when you become aware of your emotions around money, then you can begin to heal yourself. And if you do this on a daily basis, as we are for the next 40 days, you'll be amazed at the end of 40 days. You'll be in so much better place. God, man, your life will be so free when you don't have angst and anxiety, when you have what you think is no money. And then once you realize that, what are you actually doing with your money? Have you looked at that? Have you made a list of how you spend your money, or are you circulating your money? Most of us are in the spending mode. We buy stuff. You know, some of which we think we need, some of which we really don't need, but we desire, knowing the difference. Once you take a look at it and actually count the things that you wasted, then you can take that money and do something else, like buy gold. I had to get that in. Buy gold. Increase your assets. Save for your land. Get a piece of property that's going to bring you in money. Even if it's a 2-bedroom house, rent out that second room. Figure out how God has blessed you so immensely and you have not yet used it wisely. Be a good servant. Steward of your cash. But you got to look at it first. I am Lady J, doing it God's way, known today as the Wealth Doctor. Call me if you need me. I am there. Janine, and I'll turn it back over to Carla, I guess. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Yes, yes. Hello, family. Just enjoying this journey of looking at our finances. And I've stepped out on faith in growing my business portfolio as well as my personal portfolio, and invested in me in taking a class, and not just taking the class, but putting into action what the trainers have taught me, of those people who have been making the money. And so I'm just so happy to say that God is opening doors for credit that before I was always getting no's, and now I'm getting the yeses, and the status of my credit score hasn't changed. So stepping out on faith, I'm going to close it back because it's kind of noisy. I got a beautiful baby right here with me. Have a great day, guys. Stay focused.
Bye. Thank you, Carla. Thank you, Carla. I said, they're going to think that's me. That wasn't me this time. Good morning, family. You tuned in to the Love Journey. And that beautiful baby, we thank God for new. I just want y'all to know today is Zina's birthday. Make sure y'all stop by her Facebook page and wish her lots of love and happiness on her new journey entering into a new space of being in a motherhood. She, this is her second year birthing, her business expanding. Now she has 10 clients and 8 employees, and her business is growing. Her family is expanding. I just want y'all to encourage her and remind her that, you know, to keep shining. That's Diamond Ingram. Make sure you stop by there and wish her a happy birthday today, y'all. All right, family, you're tuned in to The Love Journey, your love experience. Today is with day 15. Take this weekend and catch up. Catch up on our Money Love Challenge. Get intentional about your money this morning. Get intentional about your life, because intentions can change the trajectory of how we move and navigate in our life. Get your money love music on. Get your money love on. Money love. Money love. Yay. Oh, man, I'm super excited. Living for the weekend, family. All right, I'm still in North Carolina. Yay. I'm in Khadijah's Ali's neck of the woods, maybe 2 hours away from her, but I'm still in the East Coast in North Carolina. And I understand that in Washington and New York, yeah, they got snow out there. So I'm wishing you all lots of love and warmth. Chicago, wishing you lots of love and warmth. I'll be bringing the sun back soon. I just love my family. Everybody's been calling me like, Chicago, miss you. Chicago, miss you. We want you to come home. All right. I just want to remind each and every one of you that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life, it's a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember, family. Oh, and if you're not busy this weekend and you live in the Washington, D.C. area, my daughter, Ebony Iman Ingram, is the choreographed dancers for the dancers in a musical called Breathe. I've heard some really great reviews on Breathe. I've been getting lots of calls. I've been reading different news articles about it. And if you are in the DMV area and you want to see an amazing play, stop by and see Breathe. I'm going to repost it on my Facebook page on the, so it'll be at the top. Get your tickets. They've been selling out. They might even be already sold out. I think I'm going to figure out how to drive up there or get up there and see it myself. All right, family, just wanted to let you know, Ebony Iman Ingram, world-renowned choreographer, baby, they say she shut it down on this piece. They say Breathe is such an amazing, say it brings tears to your eyes. It's so good. So I hope you all get out a chance out to see it. All right, reminding you that your gift is amazing, family. Don't just dream, but live your God-sized dreams. Let's do it, family. And this is for Khadijah Ali. I'm all the way up at Joe, DJ Khalid, family.
Go. Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
What you need?
What you need?
My niggas run the game, we ain't never leave,
never leave.
Counting up this money, we ain't never sleep,
never sleep.
You got V12, I got 12 V. Got bottles, got weed, got my
money. I'm all the way up.
Shorty, what you want? I got what you need. Shorty, what you want? I got what you need. Shorty, what you want? I got what you need.
I'm all the way up.